coming to you from the mountains and the plains. The only conservative voices brave enough to push back. This is the Conservative Daily Podcast with Joe Altman.
That's what the Second Amendment was designed to do. If you're going to do something to nullify or take away my rights under the Constitution, come get it.
Max McGuire.
When you look at politicians on the left, they need to convince people that they are victims.
A resistance to the resistance. And now your hosts, Joe Altman and Max McGuire.
And welcome back to another edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. My name is Max McGuire. Happy Tuesday. Have to check and make sure. Yes, it is Tuesday. Still trying to get back in the swing of things from CPAC. Not feeling all that hot. So we might just do an hour today. Maybe I'll get a second wind and we'll do a second hour. No phone lines today. The phone system is down. We're trying to fix it. Couldn't get it fixed in the time we had before the show today, but they're going to work on it and hopefully it'll be fixed tomorrow. So no phone lines. Might do just an hour today. We'll see. But I will be reading all of your comments in the comment section. So if you're watching this live, make sure you comment on Facebook and like and share. Make sure you comment on YouTube and give us a thumbs up and hit the subscribe button. And then, of course, on DLive, make sure you comment as well. So today's a doozy. And today is the one you got to share because we've been against this for a while. I've kind of been waiting for an episode we could do on this. No Joe today. Joe's traveling. Got a little delay at the airport, so we're without Joe. But this issue of reparations, the idea that African Americans deserve money for the sins of slavery and that the rest of us should pay for it. Surprising no one, more than 50% of African Americans polled support reparations. Very few white Americans polled. I think it was in the single digits, may even be just be the teens support the idea of reparations. What is reparations? Reparations is the notion that because African Americans today are descendants from slaves, they deserve to be paid for the hardships endured by their ancestors, and also paid because the effects of slavery are still lingering. So even though we fought a bloody civil war, even though we passed landmark civil rights legislation, even though we elected an African-American president, even though we've done so much in pursuit of racial equality, the Democrats supporting reparations say it's not enough. Now they need cash in their pockets. They need dollar bills. Now you think that's a joke. No, you go on Twitter and that's what people are saying. Black Twitter is really excited at the prospect of reparations. So let me know in the comment section, what do you think of the idea of you paying for it? No, well, they probably won't make you pay for it. They're not going to come to your house, take $100 and then give it to an African-American neighbor of yours. But you will pay, right? In one way, shape, or form. There's no such thing as the government giving money for free. There's no free money, right? Either we borrow, and even if we borrow, it has to get paid back eventually. Or it has to come from revenues, right? Those are the two options. You either borrow it, which comes with interest, or you take it from revenues, which means you need to increase revenues or cut some other kind of program. What do you think about the idea that African Americans, actually, you know what? Let's just say black, because there's two different schools of thought here in the Democrats. And I'm gonna talk about this as if it's a rational idea, because that's how you have to break it down. It's completely bogus, right? It's lunacy. But I want to approach this assuming for a second it's rational. There are people who believe that reparations should go to any African-American who can prove that they are a descendant of slaves. And there are also people who believe reparations should go to blacks, or even more disgusting, people of color. The idea that you don't even have to be a descendant of slavery, but the sin of slavery also affects you. So we talk about Kamala Harris, the granddaughter of a Jamaican slave owner, descendant from Jamaican slave owners. Under the one train of thought, she can't prove that she is a descendant of slaves. In fact, when you trace through her family history, she is a descendant of slave owners. But the other side of it says, well, wait a minute, she's also African-American, which the fact checkers are quick to point out, we got fact checked for claiming that she wasn't black, wasn't African-American. She is apparently, according to the fact checkers. So the other train of thought is that she deserves it too, even though when you trace back her lineage, she actually can owe some of her success to the fact that her family owned slaves. It's really, really messy. So we're going to spend the hour talking about how messy this is, how unconstitutional this is, and what it would actually look like to pay people who were never slaves and charge people who never owned them. But before we get into that, I want to show you what the important players in this theatrical production, what the different players have to say about this. We'll play a couple of clips from Kamala Harris and one from Joe Biden. So let's go ahead and hear Harris. This is Harris when she was on the campaign trail promising that she would explore the issue of reparations. Let's play cut number one.
We know that when they are using the Department of Justice in a way that is about politics and not about the pursuit of equality and an application of the laws equally to all people, we know this is not justice. This is an injustice. When this country incarcerates more people than any other country, America must admit it has a problem of mass incarceration. But what has this administration done? They have increased the use of private prisons, which, as we all know, profit, now let's be clear about this, profit over the incarceration of other human beings. This is not justice. This is an
important time to remind all of you that Kamala Harris insisted that African Americans who were due to be released from prison stay longer so that they can continue to meet the work requirements that the state of California had from its prisoners. Now, she denies this. She says she had nothing to do with it, but she was in charge of the office that signed off on that legal argument. So technically it was her, whether she agreed or not, she signed off on that. The idea that if you were ready for parole, you should be kept in prison longer, so that California can continue to basically bilk you for your labor and pay you a measly pennies on the hour for your labor. It's very fresh that she's talking about private prisons profiting off of prisoners when she had the ability to do the opposite, to let prisoners go when they should have been let go, and instead she wanted to keep them into profit. Let's go back and listen to the rest of that.
Justice means recognizing domestic terrorism, including white nationalist extremism, from Pittsburgh to Charleston to Orlando, is a threat to the country we love and should be considered a national security priority.
If you elected president, would you sign that bill if it came across your desk?
When I am elected president, I will sign that bill.
Talking about the reparations.
They call that turn the beat around. Senator Kamala Harris, thank you.
Let's cut it. So, no surprise, Al Sharpton, tax cheat, owes the federal government millions. No surprise that he wants some of that money too. I mean, he's never seen a check that he wasn't interested in cashing. But Kamala Harris promised that, yes, she would do that if it reached her desk. Let's play a little bit of cut two. This is a little bit of Kamala Harris talking about reparations and immigration, trying to like shift the subject a little bit because she's on a nationwide program as opposed to that, which is geared more towards African Americans. Let's hear what she says here. Let's play cut number two.
Closing the racial wealth gap and reparations.
Yes, close the racial wealth gap. Absolutely. In fact, what I am proposing is that as it relates particularly to housing, we have had a history of redlining, of excluding, in particular, African-American homeowners from families from buying homes. I intend to deal with that by giving people who are living in federally subsidized housing a federal grant that will help them put down payments on homes and also to deal with credit scores. You have to hear this, though, because we judge credit and healthy credit based on an assumption you have money, so we look at credit card payments. Mm. Instead of, hey, how about if that family is paying their phone bill on time and paying their rent on time and paying their utility bills on time? We should be measuring that as part of you are a responsible person financially.
Yes.
So they can qualify for credit.
Right.
Done.
That's good.
Okay.
I'm going to try and make this
as quick and dirty as possible.
Okay.
You're for decriminalizing border crossings. You're one of the people that raised your hand at the debate. Do you agree with AOC that we should get rid of DHS altogether?
That is not correct. I am not in favor of decriminalizing or not having consequence for. We have to keep. Let me just be very clear. We have to have a secure border. But I am in favor of saying that we're not going to treat people who are undocumented across the border as criminals. That's correct. That is correct. And what we've got to do is we cannot have any more policy like.
I don't. She says she doesn't support decriminalizing border crossing, but she also doesn't want to treat them as criminals. Starting to wonder why she left the race with 0% in the polls. Let's go back to it.
Have under this current president that is about inhumane conduct, that is about putting babies in cages, it is about separating children from their parents, and we have got to have policy that is about passing comprehensive immigration reform with a pathway towards citizenship, shutting down these private detention
facilities.
Clarify
this for me though, because
yes,
I do find it confusing. Yes. I believe if someone crosses over the border, it's
she mentioned the kids in the cages. I'm just, every time this comes up, I'm just gonna remind everyone there are currently kids in what I would actually define as cages, which are shipping containers with bars on the window, whereas Donald Trump had them in a indoor facility where the walls were chain link fences, so you can see through the walls, not unlike what you maybe see in prisons, right? She now has kids in cages. Let's go back to it.
It is illegal, and you would decriminalize it.
I would not make it a crime punishable by jail. It should be a civil enforcement issue, but not a criminal enforcement issue.
Okay.
So there should be, you know, you got to play by the rules, but we can't treat people like criminals when they're crossing the border and incarcerate them and separate them from their
families. I think just for conservatives, it is a talking point that we think open borders is something the left wants. And, you know, I understand.
Let's cut it, because I think it takes too long for her to get in this clip to the talk for reparations. But we have a last clip that's a lot shorter. Asking Kamala Harris directly what she thinks about reparations. Let's play cut number three.
Do you support reparations for black people?
Well, listen, again, we had over 200 years of slavery. We had Jim Crow for almost a century. We had legalized discrimination, segregation, and now we have segregation and discrimination that is not legal but still exists and is a barrier to progress. We have disparities around housing. We have disparities around education. We have disparities around income. And we have to recognize that everybody did not start out on an equal footing in this country. And in particular, black people have not. And so we have got to recognize that and do something about that and give folks a lift up. That's why, for example, I'm proposing the LIFT Act. Give people who are making $100,000 or less as a family a tax credit, which will benefit and uplift 60% of black families who are in poverty.
So by default, it affects black families, but there's not a particular policy for African Americans that you would explore.
But no, if you look at the reality of who will benefit from certain policies, when you take into account that they're not starting at the same place and they're not starting on equal footing, it will directly benefit black children, black families, black homeowners, because the disparities are so significant. So if we focus on the specific issues that have resulted in the greatest disparities, and we understand that that's part of why we're doing it, listen, the reality also is this: any policy that will benefit black people will benefit all of society. Let's be clear about that. Let's really be clear about that. So I'm not gonna sit here and say I'm gonna do something that's only gonna benefit black people. No, because whatever benefits that black family will benefit that community and society as a whole and the country.
All right, let's cut it. So she promised she would sign it, and now she starts sidestepping a little bit, saying, well, it's gonna be a rising tide lifts all boats, but we're gonna do it to specific programs that we know are majority African-American. A little strange how she's trying to go about it. She's trying to have her cake and eat it too. Joe Biden is much, I promise no more Kamala Harris clips. I promise. No more. Let's play the one clip we have of Joe Biden where he's asked if he supports reparations, and he says only if it also includes Native Americans. Let's play cut four.
Calculation comes to you that you are satisfied with, would you then say, I'm for reparations?
The answer is it would depend on what it was and will it include Native Americans.
So everyone, I'm part Native American. This is the best news I've heard all day. Where's my checks? Where's my checks? Yeah, I am between 1/16th and 1/32nd Lenape, which is a tribe in the Delaware River Valley in Pennsylvania, New York, Delaware area. So I'm excited. I'm excited. Does that mean I get reparations too? And this is the problem. This is the problem with all of this. And actually, we're going to go to... you're going to hate me for this. And we might not play it. I have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, where she says the same thing. What is black? How do you define black? How do you define Native American? Right? If someone is 1/32nd potentially Native American like I am, does that mean that I am owed money because of an injustice done hundreds of years ago? Right? If someone is 1/8 black or 1/4 black, does that mean they get 25% of whatever would go to someone who's 100% black? I mean, how do you define it? How do you define what constitutes a descendant of slavery in a country where we've encouraged people to marry across racial lines? We've encouraged it, right? In states where they forbid it, the courts came in and overturned that. So that, yes, you can marry. If you are a white woman, you can marry a black man or vice versa. So after decades of encouraging that, you can't then turn around and say, oh, well, if technically anyone who is a little bit African-American now gets a check in the mail. I mean, it's insane that they're doing this before they've even gotten the COVID relief checks out. Remember when Joe Biden said $2,000? $2,000. Well, Democrats control the House and the Senate. They don't need a single Republican vote, and they still didn't even make it $2,000. And it's still not out. Joe Biden promised on his first day it'd be here. So before all of the struggling business owners, before all of the struggling homeowners, right, before everyone gets their COVID check, the White House is already starting talking about reparations by executive order. Put up my screen, Mr. Producer. This is what really gets me. It's by executive order. Biden's top aide, Cedric Richmond, says White House will start acting now on reparations for African Americans. They're not going to wait for Congress to act. They want to do it by executive order or by executive action. I want to be clear, there's a difference. There's a difference between executive orders and executive actions. I've explained it on the show before. It could be either, just for the fact checkers, it could be either. But this idea that it's a go it alone, is this what we are to expect from any Democrat, whoever rises to the White House? That whenever they get there, it's just going to be giveaways for each individual ethnic or racial group. I mean, under Obama, you saw the Dreamers, right? You saw an entire subset of the Hispanic community just get protection. Just, oh, well, you get to stay. Just inventing it out of thin air, but you get to stay. Now, coming back around, African Americans. And this is where they could do it by executive order. By giving out checks is going to be hard, right? It's going to be very hard, as we'll discuss in a second. Also very unconstitutional. Interesting how that works. They could also do it by changing regulations, saying, well, we can't give you money, but we're going to make sure that we change regulations to give you what you are owed, which, again, there is not a single person alive today who was ever a slave, and there's not a single person alive today who has ever owned a slave or ever lived in a house that owned a slave or even lived with grandparents that owned a slave. I mean, this is, we're pretty far removed from the sin of slavery. But again, everyone's got to pay. I thought we paid that in blood. I thought the Civil War, that debt was paid in blood. Interesting. Now, I guess it doesn't work like that anymore. Stevie Wonder thinks that we need reparations for black people. Stevie Wonder is a mega star, mega millionaire. And yet even he has his hand out asking for that government check. Let's play cut number 5.
Supposedly Juneteenth, the holiday. Okay, I tell you what you can do better than that. I know Joe Biden will do it. Give us reparations.
For the work that we've Funk, if you're for reparations, apparently.
Unpaid.
So So that was at a Joe Biden, I believe, Barack Obama joint unity concert during the campaign. I believe it was in Michigan. Or Stevie Wonder, who, again, multi-platinum artist, millions and millions of dollars, just like a star in his own right, says it's time to give us reparations. Not it's time to give you all reparations. I don't need it. I got plenty of money. He even included him in the ask. Okay. I guess that's where we're going with this. And just because I know you're hating the clips today, here's Jen Psaki being asked about it. Let's play cut number 6.
The president during the campaign supported the study for reparations, the committee to study reparations. There was a House Judiciary Committee hearing today. Does the president support the legislation? He stopped short of saying that during the campaign. Would he sign that if it came to his desk?
Well, he's supported a study of reparations, which I believe is what's being discussed, and studying the continuing impacts of slavery, which is being discussed in this hearing on H.R. 40, I believe it is. And he continues to demonstrate his commitment to take comprehensive action to address the systemic racism that persists today. Obviously, that is having that study is a part of that. But he has signed an executive order on his first day, which would begin to deliver on his commitment to having an across government approach to addressing racial inequality and making sure equity is a part of his entire policy agenda. But he certainly would support a study of reparations. We understands that we don't need a study to take action right now in systemic racism, so he wants to take actions within his own government in the meantime.
So we had a whole episode where me and Joe disagreed. And if you watch that episode, then you know we had a pretty heated argument over whether there is even a such thing as systemic racism. So in order for there to be systemic racism, you have to say that the entire system from top to bottom is racist. But as we discussed, or as I discussed, he didn't agree at the time. As I discussed, we can't have systemic racism if the government has actually created programs designed to help African Americans. Like, if you go to a bank right now, it is possible as an African American to apply for a loan that I am not eligible for, right? It's possible to go to the federal housing and get housing grants that I am not eligible for. There are federal health dollars put into minority communities that do not also go into white communities. Throughout our government, we have parts of the system that recognize the sins of the past and say, okay, we need to help lift this community up. Now, we can have a debate over whether the community needs to be lifted up or whether it's working. I mean, the war on poverty has been one of the greatest failures of American domestic policy. But the policies, the programs exist to help African Americans in a way that they can get something that white Americans cannot qualify for. So we cannot have a systemically racist government, society, right? If there are parts of the system specifically designed to help African Americans, to help minorities, right? We might be able to say that there are different institutions, but even then, it's a big stretch to say that the banking institution is racist when, as I said, there are specific loans that are to be made available only to African Americans or minorities, right? So you can say that there are people within the institutions who are racist, but we do not have institutional or structural racism or systemic racism in this country. As long as you can identify a part of our society where African Americans receive a specific benefit, you cannot say that we are systemically racist. You can't do it. Now, Barack Obama was recently asked why he didn't do reparations. Put up my screen, Mr. Producer. He was asked why he didn't do reparations, and he said, white resistance. White resistance is what did it. If it wasn't for white resistance, he would have given African Americans reparations. If that's what it's called, then hell yes, this is white resistance. Hell yes, the idea of giving money specifically to one racial group and having another racial group pay for it. Again, the group receiving the money was never slaves. The group paying the money never owned slaves. If opposing that is considered white resistance, then hell yes, I will take that. I will absolutely take that. Here's the problem. The problem is it's unconstitutional. The Supreme Court has already dealt with this issue. Supreme Court already dealt with this issue in a case called the City of Richmond versus a specific company. I don't remember the company's name. Put it on my screen, Mr. Producer. It was a court case involving a specific city, Richmond, that wanted to give reparations to minority-owned businesses. Well, another business sued and said, no, you can't do that. That's unconstitutional, just to say that if you're a black business owner, you should get a contract or you should have a better rate at something. It's unconstitutional. Supreme Court agreed, and I want to read a little bit of it for you right here. In sum, none of the evidence presented by the city points to any identified discrimination in the Richmond construction industry. We therefore hold that the city has failed to demonstrate a compelling interest in apportioning public contracting opportunities on the basis of race. To accept Richmond's claim that past societal discrimination alone can serve as the basis for rigid racial preferences would be to open the door to competing claims for remedial relief for every disadvantaged group. The dream of a nation of equal citizens in a society where race is irrelevant to personal opportunity and achievement would be lost in a mosaic of shifting preferences based on inherently unmeasurable claims of past wrongs. Courts would be asked to evaluate the extent of the prejudices and consequent harm suffered by various minority groups. Those whose societal injury is thought to exceed some arbitrary level of tolerability then would be entitled to preferential classifications. We think such a result would be contrary to both the letter and spirit of a constitutional provision whose central command is equality. So that's settled. Settled. And let me scroll up just so I can get the court case for you. City of Richmond versus J.A. Cronson Company. Supreme Court already settled that. So this whole discussion, not possible. We have Joe back from the airport on his laptop.
I am.
Ms. Brewster, turn off your speakers so we don't hear it. Have you been watching any of it, Joe?
Yeah, a little bit. On the systemic racism part, I definitely have.
So Joe Biden is now preparing
to
do reparations by either executive order or executive action. Not even waiting for a Democrat-controlled Congress to do it. It would just be Joe Biden acting alone.
Well, I mean, constitutionally, he can't. He can't act alone, and he can't do what he's doing. What is more important to actually recognize is that he is muling along black people. He's muling them along and treating them as pawns in this game. So reparations of what? Like reparations of what? Like you're going to give them money, right. So now you're going to buy and you're going to create inequality by saying that you're trying to create equality? And keep in mind, they're not talking about equality anymore. They're talking about equity. Equity. So what they're really doing is doing socialism, which leads to communism.
It's a difference between equality of opportunity and equality of outcomes, which is what they're equity, what they're looking for, equality of outcomes, which we both end up at the same finish line. Not that we both have the same opportunity to achieve our dreams. Like the fight since slavery has been to have equality of opportunity, equal opportunity, right? That has been the fight for generations. And right now, as we seem that we have reached the point where that has happened, we had an African-American president. We now have an African-American vice president. To say that equality of opportunity is non-existent, just is complete lie. Like we have now in the past 10 years had a black man and a black woman hold the two highest positions in our government. But that's not good enough.
But reality doesn't make any difference to them. We're not talking about reality. We're not talking about what's really happening. We're talking about this fantasy land that the radical left has actually created. And they're going to continue to go down this path until we start calling them out for what they are, until we start doing the things that are necessary in order to cut them off at the ankles. You know, I had this amazing meeting just before I actually flew in from Arizona. And by the way, flying, you know, as you know, I was in Arizona working on the election integrity documentary and going through and giving testimony as to what happened over the last 4 months. And Patrick Burns was there.
You're going to get us banned from YouTube.
Why?
You're going to be us banned from YouTube. Just talking about this. Keep going. I think today's the day where we're going to get a double suspension.
How do you get a double suspension for talking about where I was? This is where I was. This is what we were doing.
Well, I'm insinuating what you were doing.
Yeah, did you see that they tried to take down President Trump's speech at CPAC? They tried to take down because
a lot of people got it taken down because of the music that was playing, but they also were claiming that it was hate speech. But let's stay on this topic because we're only doing an hour today. I don't want to get too off the topic. We're only doing an hour today. This idea that if you are African American, you just deserve cash money because someone in your family tree, something bad happened to them. How do you decide, Joe, who gets the money and who doesn't? Let's just say it happens. Where's the cutoff? Is it half black? Is it quarter black? Is it eighth black? Is it 16th? 32nd, 64th, 128th. Where's the cutoff?
We're a melting pot. And the reality of what has really happened in our country is we are becoming much less racist and more as a melting pot, as you would call it, as a melting pot, than ever before. Yet this is the time at which they're recognizing that people are coming together, so they have to create division. And I don't know. I don't know what the cutoff is. I mean, does that mean Kamala Harris has to pay reparations because her dad was her grandfather was a slave owner? I mean, she's actually a part of it. Let's go back and actually persecute, and let's go after the people that owned racists, that owned slaves. Let's just go after them and just hang all those people. Let's just get to that. Just go straight there. I mean, if we're going to have reparations, then let's have full reparations, and let's make people responsible for the behavior of people that are not them. Let's just go after them and hang them. I think we should start hanging people whose ancestors owned slaves, right?
Well, that's how absurd. You're being facetious.
That's how absurd.
And I hope our big tech overlords understand you're being facetious.
Well, I mean, look, that's how. Listen, let me finish. That's how absurd what we're dealing with is. It doesn't actually give anybody an opportunity, and they don't want to give anybody an opportunity. They want to strip minorities of opportunity. Again, Margaret Sanger actually set up Planned Parenthood to destroy minority communities, to destroy the black community specifically. Yet now the Democrats hold it up as this holy grail of rights. You have a right to have an abortion. You have a right to abort or kill 43% of the black population of the babies that are born were aborted. 43% of the pregnancies resulted of minority pregnancies for blacks resulted in abortion. 43%. I want you to think about that.
I'm sure if they found a way to tie that into reparations, they would too.
These people are evil.
If they could.
They're evil. They're evil, evil, evil people. And if they can just quiet down. So you can't put this genie back in the bottle. You can't put the genie back in the bottle that they're socialists looking to create a communist society. You can't. All we can do right now is fight against it and call them exactly what they are. Evil, evil pedophiles, rapists, and closet racists. That's what they are. They're liars.
We're not talking about that. I'm talking about that.
And you have to
talk about reparations, which we can talk about reparations without calling the other party all those names. Those names, right? That can all be true. No. But I don't want to distract on this because this is something that the White House is doing right now, that they are advancing this. And whether it comes in the form of direct checks, whether it comes in the form of some other regulatory change that makes it easier
already
for an African American
have it.
To buy a home. What does that mean?
If you're black and you want to go to college, you can go to college.
Yeah.
Pass go, you can go to college and they'll pay for it.
Yeah, if you have the same grades, it'll actually be easier for you to get in.
100%.
Yeah, and we are working. I'm sorry, everyone. We are working with a delay right now on Joe's feed because we kind of had to jerry-rig it together to get him on the air. I shared, Joe. I don't know if you got to listen to me reading that Richmond Supreme Court case. The thing that's really important about that Supreme Court case is that it declared that in order for you to give a reparation, you have to meet what's called strict scrutiny. Mr. Brewster, put it on my screen. Strict scrutiny requires two specific things. The government has to basically prove that they have a compelling state interest, and that has to be narrowly tailored. Whatever you do to solve that interest has to be narrowly tailored. And I guess there's three, and use the least restrictive means possible to achieve a purpose. So you have to say it's in the state's interest to do X, Y, Z, that you have to be narrowly tailored to only do what is necessary to achieve that. And you have to do it through the least restrictive means. So here's where it gets really interesting. the United States actually gave reparations to Japanese Americans who were interned in internment camps during World War II. That happened. We can't read the article, but this is from the New York Times. It happened. They got reparations because what we did to them was horrible. But they were the victims. It wasn't their descendants. It was them. So this was a compelling interest that the government has an interest in righting the wrongs of the past, right? It was narrowly tailored to go specifically to them and not their extended family. And it was the least restrictive means, right? We're just giving them money. We're not giving them extra benefits, right? We're not giving them the world, right? It was just giving them some reparations for what the government did wrong to them. So that's how you can do reparations in a way that complies with the strict scrutiny standard. The problem is, as we've said over and over and over again on this show, there are no Americans alive today who either were slaves or owned slaves or who even lived in a household or on a property that owned slaves. It's just too far removed. So to give reparations to anyone claiming
they are rewriting history in nearly every way. They are rewriting history. The revisionist history is they're taking down statues. They're changing the curriculum in schools. They're making kids gender fluid. We're under attack from every angle. And the only way to get past that under attack from every angle is to basically say, no, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. Parents need to rise up. And if that means tearing the doors off of the school and telling them, hey, listen, you're not going to actually indoctrinate my kids. That's what they have to do. I can tell you right now,
yeah.
when they try to teach Common Core math inside of my kid's school, right? And my daughter came home and she put this stuff in front of me and I started reading it and I'm like, what math is this? Let's guess. Let's round up, round down. That's not math. 1 + 1, carry the 2 over here, +3, knock on your chest.
Well, this is the ultimate example of fuzzy math because it is people who are owed nothing demanding everything.
Right.
Right? The number of dollars that a black man in America is owed today by the federal government, it's a goose egg. It's zero. Just like any white man, it's zero. Unless, of course, the government actually owes you money, right? Then maybe it's a non-zero number. But for what your ancestors went through, the government owes us nothing. The point is, if you don't like what the government did, you change the government, right? Unless you can actually prove that you yourself were harmed. Right? That's the strict scrutiny approach to it. If you can prove that you yourself were harmed and that you're seeking something that would narrowly fit that problem, sure, as we saw with the Japanese internment victims. But yeah. There you can't point to that today.
I don't know anyone who is a parent or a grandparent that right now would support anything that we're dealing with right now in schools. And these are your children. You're actually, I want to put it upon you. You're allowing the schools to indoctrinate your kids. You're allowing the schools to destroy your kids' future. That's what's really happening.
Do you see what happened in Boston?
I did.
That they got rid of the gifted and talented program because there were too many white and Asian kids in it. So that's what happens when racism controls what kind of education the children can get.
So right? What happens to those kids that are really, really smart? What happens to kids that are really, really smart? And this is my problem. Equity is destroying opportunity, not helping give opportunity. And instead of going in and actually solving the problems, they actually service as symptoms in order to bring everyone down to the same level. This is going to destroy competition for the United States globally. This is going to make us a weaker nation. This is going to destroy the constitution of what we have as a nation. And in 5 years, it's not even going to take 5 years. We're going to be in that place where kids don't have opportunity. Kids are going to get out of school stupid. They're not going to get hired.
They're talking about trillions. They're talking about trillions of dollars that they want direct payments into people's bank accounts. Trillions.
I'll stop paying taxes.
Trillions.
I'll stop paying taxes.
That's one way to have white people be a larger percentage of federal prisons. Just, I mean, that's one way to give them what they want, apparently.
Hey, it's for the people by the, it's of the people, for the people, by the people. This is the same problem I have with the rhetoric that gets spread around by the rhinos and the left publicans. This is the same problem that I have. It's that they're not standing up saying you're stupid.
This is the dumbest idea ever. No, they're not saying, they're saying, oh, we disagree with his policies. We think it's unconstitutional. How about it's just stupid? Like everything else the left does, it's stupid. Anything that goes against or doesn't take care of your children, it doesn't take care of the future opportunity for future generations, yeah, get rid of it. Call it what it is. Stand up and actually have some courage.
They're going to say that you're not being sensitive to the people who never suffered from slavery.
I don't have to be sensitive. I will never be sensitive, ever. I'm not going to wake up one day and decide. Yeah, no. These are clowns.
It's part of the whole thing.
Imagine
victimhood. Yeah, the idea that you have the right to imagine your own victimhood, and everyone else has to bow down to your non-existent victim status.
Well,
the people were never slaves.
If you're trying to destroy America, create an $18 billion bill. I mean, I'll tell you what that does. Ready? Create an $18 billion or $18 trillion bill. I think it's $18 trillion. It's not $1 trillion or $2
trillion. $1.9 trillion.
No.
$1.9 trillion is the latest one.
For reparations?
Well, the reparations, we don't know. We don't know because they haven't actually said who gets
it. I saw an article that was $18 trillion. I got another one that was $21.5 trillion. I had one that guaranteed wages for up to 10 years. I've seen all sorts of stuff.
There's different ones.
All right. But if you want to destroy the United States and actually take it to the global society so that it can't survive 2022, because by the way, in 2022, Biden is going to get impeached, and we are going to take back over the House and the Senate, not at small rates, but you're going to see an enormous, across the board, an enormous wave of support for conservatism, right? Not for rhinos either. They got to go too. All of them. All the rhinos, all these left Republicans, they're like, oh, no, oh, yeah, oh, as they let the erosion of our society happen, no, they got to go too, all of them, every last one of them. And I'm glad that President Trump, at his speech, actually called them out by name, right? But we have big problems, Max. But by 2022, they're going to do this now so that in 2022, they think that they've actually solidified it. We have 18 months. We have 18 months in order to make sure we take care of the voting systems. We have to have our elected leaders. We got to be putting things out there to tell our elected leaders that this is not something we're going to tolerate. That no, you represent us, remember? And we're telling you unequivocally that this does not represent the American people. It doesn't represent the black community, the white community, the Asian community, the Hispanic community. It doesn't represent any of our interests.
No. And when you read that Supreme Court decision, which I believe was written by Sandra Day O'Connor. Maybe I'm wrong, but what the decision actually said was that the minute you open this Pandora's box and you say that, okay, they deserve reparations, you're going to have a line around the block, as it were, of people waiting for their own reparations who feel that they themselves have been harmed, which is why Joe Biden, when he was asked on the campaign trail whether he supports reparations, he said, yeah, probably as long as it also includes Native Americans. So right there, he's already added a whole other bit to it.
Look, if you want to destroy the country, this is what you do. And there's an article in Newsweek that says, after reparations studies suggest $151 million for each African American, experts say money alone isn't enough. $151 million for each African American.
Yeah.
I mean, we print a lot of money now to make our money worthless. But what's it going to be worth if you give $151 million to people? What's it going to be worth then? $151
million.
Yeah.
This is American, the Irish American Heritage Month. Talked about this on the podcast yesterday. My favorite month of the year because it also includes St. Patrick's Day. Noticeably absent on ESPN, noticeably absent on CNN and MSNBC. They're not celebrating it. That's fine. The Irish were treated horribly when they got here. Anyone who's ever studied the history of the Irish, pretty much the history of any non-English immigrant class into the United States, they were treated like dogs.
Ridiculously bad. Ridiculously bad. Like slaves.
For a long time, yeah. The Irish actually were enslaved by the British and sent down to the Caribbean, to Barbados. And that's the whole saying, when they caught someone in Ireland accused of a crime, they had two options. They either go to hell or they go to Barbados, meaning they either get put to death or they go serve as a slave in the Caribbean. And the reason that the British actually enslaved the Irish was they wanted to use the Irish to breed with African slaves and create lighter colored African slaves, which then would be worth more money. So they actually captured and enslaved Irish, not Irish Americans, but Irish, for the whole purpose of breeding more expensive slaves. So, like, you can look at anything. The Italians weren't that bad, but any group of immigrants that came to the United States can say that when they first arrived, they were treated horribly, not only by society, but by the government, and they deserve reparations. If you do this, it will never stop. It will never, ever stop, right? The minute you give African Americans or even black people or people of color, whatever bill you're looking at, reparations, will never stop. And we'll just live in a society where everyone says, I'm owed. Why? Well, if you trace back on my ancestry.com, 10 generations ago, there was a black person, so I'm owed money. Right? What about future people, right? Do we just keep paying reparations?
This isn't a slippery slope. This is evil. This is evil. It's evil. It's not a slippery slope. I mean, we have to stop pretending that we're talking about a slippery slope. We're not talking about a slippery slope. We're talking about flat out evil. We're dealing with an evil part of our society trying to destroy the fiber of our community. That's what they're trying to do. We have to get back to the basic principles and fundamentals of our communities individually. And we have to reject any idea that your tax dollars can be used any which way they want. That they can just take your money, take money from you. By the way, the government, the federal government doesn't have any money. So when he says he's giving someone reparations, he's not giving someone, the federal government's not handing people reparations from their own kitty. They're taking tax dollars from you and they're handing it over to other people. They're taking money that you earned. They're taking fruits of your labor and they're handing it out just like they do overseas.
Yeah.
They're destroying everything that our country stands for. These people are crap bags. That's all they are. They're total trash.
A couple of years ago, there was someone who actually recommended tax credits as a form of reparations. And the left shot it down because the people they want to give reparations to don't have large tax bills. So giving them just a credit, right, to offset the balances that are due wouldn't help them. It wouldn't help them at all. I mean, that was Mitt Romney's downfall, talking about, what was it, the 47% of the country that doesn't pay federal income tax?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't give reparations to that group of people. It's not all of them, right? There's other races of people who are in that same economic situation. But you can't give a tax credit. So like, no, it's not good enough. What? I mean, none of it makes sense. Put on my screen, Mr. Producer. I love this meme. I saw it. It's from Kamala Harris. If Kamala Harris isn't responsible for her grandparents owning slaves, then nobody else is either. That is how equality works.
But they're not talking about equality. They're talking about equity. They've stopped talking about equality. Now they're talking about equity, which means you don't matter. All the hard work that you have doesn't matter. And by the way, how is it that people are getting poorer? Let's just say people over the last 18 months have actually lost their businesses, lost their investments, lost their homes, cars. I mean, they've lost everything. They've lost all of that, and the stock market still goes up. People aren't working. Yeah. Stock market is. What does that tell you about what? And Reddit. It took a bunch of people on Reddit to tell us that the stock market's rigged. We knew the stock market was rigged. We knew that it was rigged. But now they want to create even more chaos. The thing that I need everyone to understand, stop for a minute and understand this. Stop just for 1 minute. Anything in your life, I want you to think back to anything in your life. Has anything in your life that surrounded itself or was based in chaos, did it produce any fruit that was good? Like in that chaos, was anything that was accomplished good? There's opportunity in chaos, but typically it's not for you. Somebody is taking advantage. There's a reason why that chaos is around you. And what they're doing right now is that they are creating chaos in our lives. Everything is a problem. Everything is an emergency. Everything is the sky is falling. Everything is, oh my gosh, a stage looks like the Nazi symbol. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what we're dealing with in this chaos. And in order to cut through the chaos, I'm going to tell you really quickly how to cut through the chaos, right? You got to call BS. You got to call it what it is. You got to be truthful. You got to be courageous. You got to stand up and speak. You got to call your congressman. You have to raise your voice. You have to literally get angry. There is something called righteous anger. You can be angry. You can be angry. There's nothing that says that I can't be angry. And everybody says, well, Joe, you get really upset. You're daggone right I get upset. I work 60-70 hours a week.
Yeah, so you lived in Virginia for a time growing up. You also went to school at the University of Maryland. So you know what it means to grow up in that area of the country and go to school in that area of the country. You also come from a mixed race family.
Yep.
So you understand the issues that situation can give you. Mr. Producer, put it on my screen. This is a new bill that was just passed in Virginia to award reparations to black prospective college students. It should say prospective, because the way they would give reparations is give four-year college scholarships to black applicants. And I want to make sure I get this right. Require the state's five colleges that were established before 1865. So the reason is that they were established before 1865. So apparently they have unnaturally benefited from the sin of slavery, which may be true, maybe not. University of Virginia, Virginia Commonwealth University, Virginia Military Institute, Longwood University, and College of William and Mary to offer four-year full scholarships and other grants to applicants who can prove descent from slaves who had worked as builders, maintenance workers, or groundskeepers at this institution. So they're trying to actually go through the history, and any slave that was possibly involved in any of those five colleges, if they can trace back their lineage, which, good luck, I mean, that's kind of the issue of being undocumented, which in those cases many were. Good luck. But they want to create a system where you can actually get a free four-year college degree if you can in any way, shape, or form trace your lineage back to someone who was enslaved in Virginia at one of these places. Is that fair?
No.
Is that fair?
No, it's not fair. No, it's not fair. It's not fair. But we're not, that life's not fair. And I think that's the point, is that they're not trying to be fair. They're trying to destroy the fiber of our community. They're trying to destroy it. Let's do everything we can to destroy everything that we stand for as a country.
So we know that it's trillions. We don't know how many trillions. We do know, though, that if they don't get their way now, the bill is just going to keep getting bigger. Because the number of people born who can claim that they are part black, part African-American, that's only going up. Right. So this is one of those situations where they're also saying it's a great deal. Do it now before it gets more expensive. Well, again, no, the amount of money that you are owed in this country for what happened to your ancestors is zero. Zero. The debt has been paid. The debt was paid in full with the blood of Union soldiers who gave their lives and gave their limbs to fight for the abolition of slavery. That debt has been paid in full. Period. Full stop. There is no further debt. Imagine how the lunacy of it. And I don't want to call it ungrateful, because again, I wasn't in the Civil War, right? But imagine being a slave, being freed, now having a chance to live the American dream. And generations from now, your descendants are trying to claim your victimhood for their own personal gain. No, that debt has been paid in full. They are owed nothing. And if, in the words of Barack Obama, we put up on the screen again, put up my screen again. If, in the words of Barack Obama, this is white resistance, that's what we call this. Fine, I'm okay with that. I mean, it just should just be resistance, but no, it has to be white resistance. I don't think my race has anything to do with it, because I don't think their race has anything to do with it. It's not a racial issue. It's a heritage issue, but they're trying to actually transform it into a racial issue. So anyone who's black, even not African-American, so Kamala Harris, strangely enough, under that proposal where it's just blackness, Kamala Harris being descendant from Jamaican slave owners would be due reparations from America, even though her family came here long after slavery ended in the United States, and she cannot trace her lineage back, she still suffered from the long-lasting sins of slavery. So she needs reparations. None of it makes sense. None of it makes sense. But not only is it unconstitutional, it is illogical. And I'll tell everyone, hit that share button today, because this is going to get big. They're going to keep pushing this, and Joe Biden is already working on this. And by that, he's not actually doing it. He's actually already gone down for a nap with his juice box. It's other people like Kamala Harris who are working on it.
He's playing with Legos.
No, Legos are too hard. Maybe Mega Blocks. Anyone who has kids knows what I'm talking about. Mega blocks are the big ones. Don't have to have a lot of dexterity for it. he's napping. They'll just bring him the final report. He'll sign it. Oh, checks go out to African Americans. I don't know. Give you the final word, Joe, real quick, coming up on the end of the hour. What do you want to share with everyone?
You know, I just got back from Arizona, and I got to meet with a lot of great people, and I want to just encourage you guys to let you know that things are happening. I don't know if you saw what happened in Georgia, but they passed a comprehensive part of voter security, which was the voter IDs for absentee ballots. And you'll notice that they had people who were communists. They actually went through and were having conversations with, these are communists that chained themselves together and said that they're being enslaved again, not recognizing that that people are waking up to the fact that they're communists. And we got access to the machines in Coffee County, got access to the machines in Antrim. We got access to the machines in what?
Be very careful. Let's talk about this on a platform that is not YouTube.
So if you want to do a full update, I'm not saying anything about what happened. I'm saying that we got access to these things. So we have to recognize that there are things that actually are happening. This is actual news that is happening. You know, the judge sided with the Maricopa County, sided with the legislature. I'm not saying that anything's going to happen one way or another. I'm just saying that we're getting access to it. I'm saying that across the country they are passing comprehensive election. They're doing it. I mean, they're doing it right now. So, but more importantly than that, truth is important. Truth is important, and it's coming out. And even though they put the cap on the top of the volcano, it's coming out. And in a couple months, you're gonna be able to see a documentary that is, it just is amazing. That's gonna deal with what we dealt with in 2020, all the way back through COVID, all the way back through all the other things that we had to deal with over the last year. It's been bizarre world. I mean, it's hard to not look at what's happened to us as a country and not say it's been bizarre world. But it's planned. There's a plan to push us back into a globalist environment, to make your voice not mean anything. And it doesn't, you take that as you want, but there's a plan. And you can't look at this and say, oh, it just is happenstance, or oh, just a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. And so the only way that we actually get past all of this is to stand up. Had an amazing meeting. I'll do a podcast myself probably later, or maybe I'll just go live on Facebook later on today and just give you an update on what really happened while I was in Arizona and at CPAC.
Yeah, we're fine doing that. I just think it would be a real shame if we get banned from YouTube again because we insinuate something in the last 2 minutes of the episode. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the podcast. Only an hour today. I feel like crap. Joe doesn't have all of his equipment set up yet, so we're going to wrap it at an hour. If you like the podcast, make sure you subscribe to the audio version of the podcast. That's available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Podbean. We go live Monday through Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern on Facebook. Make sure you like and follow our Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe, hit the bell for notifications on YouTube, and make sure you give us a follow over on DLive as well. All links in the description, make sure you check them out at your leisure. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the podcast. My name is Max McGuire.
This is Joe Altman.
And remember that the fight to take back our country isn't over yet, but the only way we win is if we all stand up and fight together.